Good morning, everybody. First thing is I think it's awesome that we have such godly leaders in our church. Example of my brother Isaiah and what he's doing here at the church when he has time to. I think that's a huge blessing to our church. And guys, speaking of our church, this church right here, I want to just thank you guys because I don't think I've told you guys truly how I felt about you guys. Some of you guys have seen me grow up here at the church from when I was a student here in youth group to becoming a leader to becoming a youth pastor here. And I want to say you guys are truly awesome people. And I thank you guys for accepting me here. I thank you guys for watching me get married. I thank you for accepting my wife here, my family here. You guys are truly a blessing in my life, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So thank you guys again for all you guys do in my life. And for helping my job be a little easier and for trusting your kids with me. That's a huge part, and I thank you guys for that. Guys, before I actually get into the topic, this Sunday is a little bit different than most Sundays because one is we're doing 6 worship songs today. I don't think that's ever happened here. So we're doing 6 worship songs. And that's kind of the theme that I wanted, which Bob explained, is I want a worship-centered Sunday service, because personally in my life, in my experience with God, is worship is my connection to God, and it helps me receive the message better. Now, maybe in some of you guys' life, it's different. I understand that, but I love worship, and I think it's a huge part of church and bringing the Spirit in. So with that being said, this Sunday is going to be different. My message might not be as long as normal, and that is just so it can fit the other 3 songs in. So with that being said, let's pray. Let's welcome God into this place, guys. I just ask for one thing from all of you guys here, is that you are completely opened to allow God to speak to you here today. Okay, because some of you guys here have come with stuff from past, from this week, from last week, and I ask you guys just to give it all to God. Because I think that the biggest thing is that we struggle with is we allow that weight and we carry it here and we carry it with us to next week and years and years and years. And we can never experience God because we carry that weight and he doesn't want you to carry that. So let's pray. Father God, I just pray right now for your Spirit, Father, to come and fill this room. I pray for hearts to be changed here tonight, Father. I just pray for anybody that's dealing with stuff in their life right now, Father, that seems to be pushing you away from them, Father. I just pray that right now that you will remove that from them. Father, I pray for hearts to be changed here today. I pray for hearts to be opened here today. I pray for minds, Father, to give people the wisdom that they need, Father. And I just pray for their focus to be on you. I thank you, Father, again, just for an opportunity to be up here, Father, to preach your word. And I pray that you will use me, Father, and that you will give me the words to say, Father, and all the ears to listen, including myself. I pray for change here, Father, today in the service. Amen. All right, guys. So to start off, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 13, 6 through 9. This is going to kind of start off the base of my sermon. And the topic, I was really praying about what I wanted to talk about. And then it hit me after I gave my sermon or my message to the youth group. And it was on repentance. But I kind of changed up a little bit, is growth happening? And this topic is going to be talking about our life as Christians and how sometimes, when we accept Christ, even though we accepted Christ, does not mean that we sometimes still lose to the flesh. And just because we accepted God does not mean the flesh goes away. So, Luke 13, 6 through 9. Okay. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for 1 more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Man, this These verses can apply so much to our lives now. But to go off of that, I want to talk about poor growth first in our lives. And I want to use an example of a garden to be an example of our relationship with God, if that makes sense. And I think poor growth, guys, starts, before I get into that example, I think poor growth starts with our struggles becoming our priorities in our relationship with God. Is that where growth, stops with God? So I'm looking, and also I think that not just for us as adults here, but it can apply to you guys as well, but also the younger generation, I think that they're kind of misleading in a way and just getting the basics on how to grow with God after they accept God. I think there's basics that they know, but there's so much more to grow in God, and you guys know this. There's so much more to it. For example, of basics is what I think is a basic is, okay, so being a good church member will continue to help you grow in God. If you read your Bible every single day, you'll grow more in God. If you pray once a day, you'll grow more in God. Don't get me wrong. You can grow in God in that, but there is so much more. There is an effort that you guys have to put in. If you truly love God, then you're going to make time for God. Amen? So, the example of the garden. I want you guys to picture with me. You can take an example of your backyard, but just look at flat ground with grass, with sticks, maybe a bush, maybe a tree. I want you guys to look at that as our lives when we did not have God. Okay? Now, I want you guys to now see things changing. I want you to see the sticks being picked up, the bush being removed, the ground being turned. I want you guys to see it now turning into a garden. As in, preparation for something. It's preparing for something. Now, I look at our hearts in the same way as that garden. As when we're not saved, our heart is hard. And then when we want to make change in our life, when we want to accept Christ, our heart starts to change to prepare for Christ. And I look at the garden the same way as there's work put in to make a base of something to receive the seed. And in our lives, that's it. Okay, our hearts, we accept Christ, we plant the seed in the garden, but here's the difference here now, is if you plant a seed and you never feed it what it needs, it's not going to produce how it should. You guys get what I'm saying here? It's a garden that is not taken care of will not produce the good fruit that is planted in the garden. Now, for all you gardeners, I know we've got a lot of them here. I'm not a gardener. My mom made me garden, but I'm not a gardener. What is something that we cannot stand that happens in our garden when it's not taken care of? You know, when you said worms, I said, what's that one thing that, what's that thing in the garden that starts with a W that like overruns the garden? And they said worms. I did not want worms. I wanted weeds, but I wouldn't clarify enough. So anyways, but yes, you guys are absolutely right. Weeds start coming. And a garden that is not taken care of will be overrun with weeds. And weeds, when they come into a garden, they kill what is good. They kill what is good. And let me tell you guys this. I'm just going to sum it up for you right now. If you are not feeding the garden, if you're not feeding the seed, you're feeding the weeds. If you're not feeding the spirit, you are feeding the flesh. And for us, if we're not growing in God, then we're feeding the flesh. Amen. I don't know if you guys know who Billy Graham is. If you don't, you really should look him up. He's an awesome man. God used him to impact so many people in this world. You know, he was speaking to millions, you know, filling out football stadiums of thousands of people and talking to them, and God was really using him. But he said this in one of his messages. I'm going to quote him what he said. And in my experience, however, most Christians fail to grow in their faith either because they don't realize they ought to grow or because they don't know how to grow. They know that Christ died for them and that they will go to heaven someday, but they don't know what ought to be happening to them in the meantime. Can we be connected? Can we be connected to God but not committed to God? say that again. Can we be connected to God, but not committed to God? When I look at a connection with God, I look at this time right here can be a connection with God. I look at when you go home and you have a devotion time can be a connection with God. I look at a Bible study can be a connection with God. But let me just tell you guys this. If you guys do not, if you guys tell me that you guys are committed to God, but you do not trust God, I won't believe you. If you say you're committed to God, you have to trust God as well. If you're receiving, if you're connected to God, then you're going to want to do what God's telling you to do, correct? If you're telling me you're committed to God and God's telling you you're going to do something, you're going to tell me that you're going to do it, right? I think poor growth happens when we lack trust in God the most. Even as believers who's been believers for years, pastors, I think that trust is still a big factor in our relationship with God. As someone who completely changed our life, who has our back no matter what, when times get really tough, he seems to be the last priority in our life. Someone who loves us so much is our last priority in our life when things get hard. And don't get me wrong, it's easy to trust God when life's going well. It is. But when situations happen that just are devastating, we put God at the bottom of our list. And that's, I think, what the enemy is so tricky about and what's so dangerous about it. He makes you feel that you are strong enough without God. And we believe it. And for months, you could be looking like you're doing well without God, but then you start to fall. You start to get unhealthy. And I'm just going to sum this up again. What you feed is what you'll become. If you feed the flesh, if you feed your struggles, if you feed the brokenness, if you feed the anger, if you feel the sadness, that is what you will show. But if you feed the spirit and you desire to, you sincerely desire to grow in God, you will go, people are going to see God in you. And you're not going to be able to hide that. If you're truly seeking God, they're going to see it. This world is dark enough, and people that are seeking God, that light's going to shine pretty bright. I think that's the issue with growth, is with poor growth, is we just do not trust God enough. And that affects our relationship. And guys, I want to use another example here as a relationship with God. And I think, and I want you guys to think about this, is as an athlete, I look at my relationship as a sport that I love to play. For you guys, a job that you love. I love baseball. Now, do I just make the baseball team and never put any effort to get better? Do I accept Christ and never ever put the reps in to grow more? I think that's what's happening nowadays with the relationship with God and believers, is they accept him to say they accepted him. And there's no growth that happens. And guys, I'm going to tell you right here, this church is on fire for God. We see it. But the growth does not happen right here. The growth happens individually in your guys' lives. That when you guys are outside of here and you guys are truly desiring to grow more in God, that you guys know that even though situation seems impossible, there's no situation that's impossible for God. That no matter how big your struggle is, there's no struggle that is too big for God. And that's it. It's knowing. And that's it, is knowing that God has your back no matter what. But to know that every single day we have to pick up our cross. And if we don't pick up our cross, with how many weapons out there the enemy has for us, we're going to get affected by it. Think about not picking up your cross as not putting armor on, but being front line of a war. No armor on and you're front of the line. How are you going to survive? You will not. And guys, that is just it. Is when it comes to growing more in God, is knowing that God has to be the center of your life and everything else goes around it. If you guys have brokenness, understand that there's only one person that can truly give you healing. And I think there's a lot of people in this room that have experienced brokenness. I think our church has seen a lot of things this year that have caused brokenness. We have a lot of deaths that happened that caused brokenness. But let me tell you this, guys, is that nothing in this world can pick up a broken heart and put it back together. That God wants you to understand that a heart that is broken, those pieces that He wants to pick up, each piece, and put it back together. That is healing. And if you do not want that, your heart will continually be broken. And some of you guys have dealt with anger for a very long time. Maybe that's one of your biggest struggles is anger. And it's been years and years and you haven't found peace. Well, true peace comes through God. All right, so I don't know if I was going to have time to share this, but I have time. So I just want to let you guys know that when Tom asked me and Pastor Ken asked me to preach, it's been a while since I preached. And I've never felt so heavy after I said yes to do a sermon in my life. From the day that I said yes, I have never been the same since. My friends have seen it. My wife has seen it. I was angry all the time. I was very upset. I did not want to do much. And I was fighting God. And guys, I cannot tell you why I was fighting God so much about this. You know, because I love you guys. And, you know, I care about your guys' souls, just like my youth. But I was really struggling. And I remember, guys, that I was praying right after my youth group, my message I gave in repentance. I was praying, and I was asking God, God, why am I can't do this. I don't feel right. And I could hear God just with one word, son. I'm like, God, I can't do this right now. I'm mentally, I'm just not ready. You know, it's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my sermon, my time with you. God, again, son. God, I can't right now. I'm just not in a place right now to be able to do something like this. This task is very heavy. I just can't. Son, look up. And so many times, our struggles make us keep our heads down that we cannot see God up. And it's time, guys, that if you guys have been looking down, no matter how big your struggle is, it does not intimidate God. It intimidates you. But with God, we have the strength to overcome it. Amen. So, guys, I'm telling you guys, as somebody who's even a youth pastor, a pastor, can experience struggle in life. And sometimes our head can be down. Even as a pastor, my head can be down sometimes for months, and it can affect me because my flesh does not leave, even though I have God in my life. But God gives us the mercy and grace to give through these tests. And guys, I'm going to tell you right here, I am thankful that God has given us tests in our life. I'm thankful for them because it tests how much you value your relationship with Him. I'm thankful for the giants that God placed in our life. That's where a test where you're at in your relationship. Either you let the struggle take over you, or you allow God to come into your situation to get you through the problem. And that's where it is. Guys, I cannot change any of you guys' hearts, your minds, anything, but I'm telling you, sincerely love God, then show it. Okay? Feed your faith, and it will kill your fears. Feed your spirit, and your sin will hunger you. The story that I was going to get with the guy is another thing that's affected this month before the sermon is I was going to work one day. It was a normal day at work. I was driving in. I was praying for my sermon. I was kind of going over things I want to say to you guys. And when I pull in at the Haven of Rest, which is where I work, it's a homeless outreach, I pull in and I see about 7 cars that were unmarked. I'm like, okay, why is there a bunch of cars just like right next to our building? It was kind of weird. I pull in, I see all these men in this corner with badges on. I'm like, what in the world's going on? So I got out of the car and I see my staff member that works on third shift coming out and his head is down. I'm like, what is going on? He's like, look. I look over and there's a man face first laying on the sidewalk. You see blood coming from his face. And I'm just like stunned because, you know, this is not the first time I've seen something like this, but this time it affected me. And guys, the part that was hard was not necessarily seeing that, but I had to identify who it was. And the part that was hard was I talked to this man every single day leading up to this. And he had a desire, he wanted change in his life, and we could see change happening. But the flesh won that night. My point is whether you believe in God or whether you do have a relationship with God, tomorrow is not promised. That this could be the last sermon I ever give in my life. That for some of you guys, this could be the last sermon you ever hear. Allow change to happen in your life. If a struggle that's happening right now in your life, make change today. Make change today. Okay? It's how much do you love God? It's how much do you desire God in your life? Is your relationship with God something that you truly care about? Is your relationship with God a priority in your life? Those are questions you have to ask yourself. The service is worship-centered. For some of us, it's hard for us to worship. Understand? But I'm telling you guys right now, is be free. Is allow God to take control of your life. If you got to put your hands up, put your hands up. If you got to dance, dance. If you got to scream, scream. Do not let somebody else's opinion affect your relationship with God. If you truly care about God and you value your relationship with God, then show it. Stephen Furtick, one of my favorite pastors. Okay, Pastor Ken's my favorite pastor, but he's second. Let me just clarify that. Wow. Okay, anyways. Stephen Furtick, Elevation Worship, leads North Carolina. He made a very good point about what I'm speaking on here, about trusting God. And to add on to what I was saying about trusting God, he says that the more we trust God, the more we get to know about who God is. That's an awesome thing. And I think when we don't trust God, guys, we see a lot of disappointments in our life. We see it. We don't have a very clear vision of things in our life when we're trusting God. You know, because he's the ultimate guide that has a path that he made for us. All of our paths are different, but the same goal. And I think when we don't trust God, we can't fully see what God is doing. Now, he said this. This is so cool. He said, when we start trusting God, sometimes our disappointments become our destiny. And we don't know that because we're not trusting God. Guys, some of you guys have heavy burdens on your heart right now. Some of you guys have struggles that you guys have been dealing with for a long time that's disconnected you from God. But I'm telling you right now, that no matter how high the wall is that you create in your life, it's not going to stop God from coming through. No matter how many locks you put on your door on God,
it's not going to stop God from coming in. But you have to want it. And I think that comes to... I was in the zone too. Let's pray real quick. Father God, I just pray right now, Father, as I finish up this, Father, I just pray right now again for change to happen here at the church, for here in New Baltimore. I thank you for the growth that is happening, but I pray the growth does not stop. I pray right now, Father, as I give the last part of my sermon, Father, just help me in this time. In your name, amen.